Father, we just thank you, Lord. Lord, for this morning, Lord, we thank you what you're doing. Father, I just pray, Father, over Danny right now in Jesus' name, Lord, that you just fill his mouth, Lord, with your power, with your anointing, that he can minister in boldness, Father, and authority. Lord, that he can move our hearts, Lord, to be more in line with you this morning. In Jesus' almighty name we pray this. Amen.
Amen. Morning, church. I don't mind taking Daniel on. It's all good. In fact, just as Lyle was sharing about my name actually being Daniel, I was christened Daniel. It is on my birth certificate, but no one's ever called me that for whatever reason. But I've always been known as Danny. Please excuse me while I'm looking down. I'm just trying to get my timer started. Okay, we're good. I just felt God drop this into my heart. Daniel 11 says that those who know their God will do great exploits. Those who know their God will do great exploits. Did you know that, church? Who wants to do great exploits for the kingdom of God? At least 50% of us. We can encourage the rest. You need to know your God to do great exploits for the kingdom and for the king. And I just felt stirred in that this morning. You know, Paul wrote, I consider everything else loss. I consider everything else garbage compared to the surpassing worth of knowing Christ my Lord. That's what Paul wrote, the great apostle Paul. Everything else I consider loss, I consider garbage compared to the surpassing worth of knowing Christ my Lord. And those who know Christ as Lord will do great exploits. So church, let's be a people that know our God. Let's be a people that pursue our God. Let's be a people that put God above all else, surpassing all other things. So easy to displace God and his surpassing worth in our lives, isn't it? But if you want to be used by God, and we're in a series about kingdom people, kingdom living. If we want to be that kind of people, we need to know our God. And he will lead us to do great things for his kingdom and for his namesake. Amen? Amen. Wonderful. So we're actually wrapping up this series this morning. And I've got a very simple message for you. Today isn't going to be very practical. It's not going to be very hands-on. I like to preach and give you handles on the word to take it away, to apply it. It's not that kind of message this morning, although I trust that there will be something that you can take and digest and live into. But what I'm trusting for today is that you will get a sense of God. You will get a view of God. Who wants to get a sense of God this morning? That's why we're here, right? We need to see God. To do great exploits, we need to see God. To do great exploits, we need to know Christ. So this is a message for your soul this morning. So I want to encourage you to receive this as a message for your soul. My prayer is that you will get a glimpse of the majesty, the magnificence, and the greatness of our God this morning. That is my hope for you. That is my prayer for you and for me, because I need this, that we would grasp, although we are inadequate in ourselves as human beings, as flesh and blood, we serve and we worship one who is great, who is surpassing all other things. We come to worship this morning a God whose greatness we cannot fathom. And we must know that. We must know that he is the great and the glorious one. And this is my message. I could really end it there. But I do want to unpack this a little bit for us this morning. We need this revelation of God to see God the way he should be seen. And do you know what? This isn't for God's sake. This is for our sake. God knows who he is. There's no questioning God's mind who he is. He knows. He is God. He is who he is. He told Moses, I am who I am. I be who I be. I am God. So it's not for his sake that we declare praises, by the way. God takes pleasure in our praises. God inhabits the praises of his people. God delights when we worship him, when we adore him, when we gaze upon him. But it's not for his benefit. It's for his pleasure, but it's for your benefit and my benefit. Praising God is for his delight, but it's for your benefit. Did you realize that? because we need to see with fresh eyes who God is. That's why we sing about these songs. We sing these songs, not, you hear me say this time and time again, but I love just recognizing that the songs are not about the songs. They're not about the words. They're about pointing us to one who is greater. The words point us to the word. The words we sing, the words we declare, point to the word, the living word, Christ. It's not a warm-up act. What we've done here, it's not a warm-up act for me. It's actually the main thing. Meeting with Jesus is the main thing. And by the way, we use scriptures to point us to Jesus. But Jesus is the main thing. Jesus is the one that we gaze upon this morning. Jesus is the one we declare. And we need to know who God is. God knows, but we need to know. And you know, the word of God says that faith comes by hearing, and hearing the word of God. So it's important that we declare who God is so that our ears hear, so faith comes. We need to declare the praises of God. We need to declare the character of God so that our ears hear, so that faith is released in our hearts, in our lives. Do you know you can't battle the enemy in your mind in silence, in quiet? You have to declare, because your ears need to hear the truth. And it's truth that sets free. You know, time and time again, when I have my quiet times, my devotions in the morning, sometimes, because I get the train 3 days a week, if I don't meet with God before I leave, I try and do it on the train. But I have to be quiet. Well, I don't have to be. I probably shouldn't be, okay? It's the fear of man, which is a snare. But what I really want to do is, if I'm listening to worship, I want to sing it out. Because I can be thinking through a conversation I need to have in my head whilst I've got worship music playing. I can be thinking about something I need to do in my head. I can be thinking about a battle that I'm facing in my head. Because actually it's when we declare the truth that actually our minds begin to be transformed. Guys, we need to put the word of God on our lips. We need to put the praise of God on our lips. That's why we encourage, you know, shouting is in the Bible. Shouting is a valid expression of praise. Vocalizing your worship is a valid expression of praise. That's why we do all these things. Guys, let's lift our hands. Let's raise our voices. Let's engage. Let's push in further. Because your mind needs to know the truth. Because your heart needs to know the truth. Because you and I are told from day to day that faith isn't a real thing. That God isn't a real thing. So we need to remind ourselves again and again and again of the greatness of our God. He turns graves into gardens. Beauty where there's ashes. We need to remind ourselves. It's for your benefit and mine. Okay, it's not really my message. But it is. It's going to lay a foundation. Isaiah 40, 28. Have you not known? Have you not heard? The Lord is the everlasting God. Just turn to somebody around you and say, the Lord is the everlasting God. So we're going to explore the everlasting this morning. The everlasting God and the everlasting kingdom. And everlasting, it means this. Probably doesn't need much explanation. It means it goes on. It's long lasting. It's about antiquity and it's about futurity. Futurity, did you know that's a word? Futurity and antiquity. It's about the ancient, it's about the future, it's about always, it's about the continual, it's about the perpetual, it's about eternal, it's about forever, it's about the permanent, it's about what lasts forever. It's the eternal, it's the everlasting. And you know, God is an everlasting God. I've got 3 points for you this morning. Number one, God is the everlasting God. This is what I want us to see this morning. This is what I really believe the Holy Spirit wants to illuminate to us. I'm going to fly through a number of scriptures because I want to help you see this morning from the Word of God that this is truth. Lamentations 5:19. But you, O Lord, reign forever. Your throne endures to all generations. Through every generation, the throne of our God endures. Psalm 93:2. The psalmist says it, your throne is established from of old. You are from everlasting. This is God. And Moses, the prayer of Moses in Psalm 92, Lord, you have been our dwelling place throughout all generations, through every generation before the mountains were born. Or you brought forth the whole world from everlasting to everlasting. You are God. Do you see that? From everlasting, everlasting past to everlasting future, you are God. God is the everlasting God. God is the eternal one. Everlasting means there's no beginning and there's no end. This is the God we came to worship this morning, church. If you're a little bit bored, then you've missed who God is. If you were switched off, you've missed who God is, because he's the everlasting. From everlasting to everlasting, he is God. What don't we have to praise? Because he is always God. He's the everlasting one. So why wouldn't we look at him and say, God, we have something to declare this morning. Church, we have something that he wants to birth from within us. This should release faith in our lives. He is the everlasting God. He's the God that entered into human history through Christ, came in flesh and blood, God incarnate, Christ Emmanuel. This is what we're going to celebrate in December, to presence himself amongst you and me. The everlasting to everlasting God is present here. Man, why would we not worship him with all our heart, soul, mind and strength? We've lost sight of him if we've got bored with him. We've lost sight of him if we've got bored with him. If you're going through the motions this morning, if you've switched off, you haven't met with the everlasting. And man, we need to bask in this and bathe in this on a daily basis. Because the world tries to erode our view of God and minimize him and restrict him and dumb him down. No, God is from everlasting to everlasting. He has always existed. Revelation 21:6, he said, I am the Alpha and Omega, the beginning and the end. God is timeless. You know, God created time, but he's completely outside of it. He gave us time and history, time and space, but he's beyond it. He surpasses it. He's outside of the constraints of time. God exists in eternity past, and he exists in eternity future all at once. It's not that he was and that he will be. It's that he's the God who is and was and will be simultaneously. He's not sequentially everlasting. He's simultaneously everlasting. It's not that he was in the past, eternity past, and he moves through time. He's here now with us in 2023. He moves into eternity, future. No, he was, he is, and he will be all at the same time. He's already been in your future. He walked with you in your past. And by the way, he's here now with you. Whatever you're facing, whatever circumstances are in your life, he's present now. The everlasting one who was then, the everlasting one who will be, is with you now, present with you. Well, do you see this? Do you know this? Those who know their God will do great exploits. If we want to be a kingdom people, we need to know our God. And this is what we need to know. This is what we need to know, church. He is the everlasting. And we can have confidence this morning because he's our God. He's your God. He's my God. From everlasting to everlasting. The message puts it like this. From once upon a time to kingdom come, you are God. I like that. From once upon a time to kingdom come, you are God. Psalm 102, you still with me?
Yeah.
102, verse 24. Oh my God, I say, take me not away in the midst of my days. You whose years endure throughout all generations. Of old you laid the foundations of the earth, and the heavens are the work of your hands. He's the creator God. They will perish, but you will remain. Everything we see with human eyes will perish, but God will remain. They will all wear out like a garment. You will change them like a robe and they will pass away. But you are the same and your years have no end. I already mentioned it earlier, but in Exodus 34, God meets with Moses. And God says, my people are enslaved in Egypt. I'm sending you, a man, a frail man, with inadequacies, with failures, with insufficiencies. I'm sending you in my name with my enabling to go and liberate my people, to lead them out of captivity into the promised land. And Moses had this wrestle with God because he was inadequate, because he didn't see what God saw in him, which is often the case, right? When God calls us, we're like, God, who are you talking to? Surely you don't mean me. You know, I face this on a regular basis. I'm like, Lord, are you sure? Like, are you completely sure that you called me? Are you completely sure that you chose me to do what you've called me to do? And God said to Moses, I am who I am. Tell them, I am who I am sent you. And I'm going to give you Aaron to come alongside you. I'm going to equip you. I'm going to enable you. I'm going to give you what you need to lead my people out. I'm going to give you a staff. I'm going to give you faith. But what you need to know above all other things is that I go with you. I am the God, the everlasting God. I am who I am, which means to be. He said, I be who I be has sent you. Doesn't make sense, does it? Grammatically, it doesn't make sense. Teachers, you're squirming. I be who I be has sent you. That just doesn't make sense, God. What are you saying? What God's saying is, you cannot confine me. The English language will not hem me in or restrain me. God is bigger than that. You know, in Revelation, it says that Jesus has got a name on his thigh that nobody else knows. Why? Because he's God. It also says he's got a name, King of Kings, Lord of Lords, inscribed in Revelation. But there's a name that no one knows because he's God. He will not be hemmed in or boxed in by our finite thinking or understanding. You cannot contain God. He's bigger than your mind or your imagination. It doesn't make sense, Lord, what you're saying to Moses, that he is the everlasting God. Isaiah 46, 9 to 10. Remember the former things, those of long ago. I am God and there is no other. I am God and there is no other. I am God and there is none like me. I make known the end from the beginning, from ancient days, what is still to come. A.W. Tozer said, God dwells in eternity, but time dwells in God. God dwells in eternity, but time dwells in God. This is a rope. Okay. I want you to imagine that this is a rope with no ends. Okay? We couldn't find one of those. The eternal, everlasting rope that goes on and on and on. So I want you to imagine that this is eternity, okay? This represents eternity past to eternity future. It's the everlasting. And in the middle of this, is a tiny section of the rope. And this represents human history, okay? And we've got to imagine this rope is a lot longer. We can't imagine it, because we can't imagine a never-ending rope. But for argument's sake, for the sake of this illustration, that is human history right there. And within that tiny area of human history, which we just couldn't pick out with a microscope, is your life, is my life. You know, even a hair would not pick out your life within that tiny area of eternity. I want you to grasp how big God is and how small we are. Who are you that you're mindful of us, God? Who are you? We couldn't even pick out in the length, the breadth, the depth, the height, the width, the magnitude, the magnificence of the everlasting, of the eternity where we sit. God is the everlasting God. We've got good reason to be confident, church, this morning, because we serve this God. From everlasting to everlasting, he is God. You know, it's not conceivable, is it, really? We can't really wrap our minds around this. You know, sometimes I sit and I try and think about one day when Jesus returns and those that know Christ have surrendered their life to him, we'll be with him for eternity. Sometimes I try and sit and ponder what that means. That there's no end. I can't stay in that place too long. Actually, my finite brain, my small brain, I cannot comprehend that. It just, it blows my mind to try and think like there's no end to this. We'll be worshiping God before his throne day and night, night and day. You know, around the throne of God right now, they're singing, "Holy, holy is the Lord God Almighty," on repeat for eternity. That's why we often sing, "Holy, holy, holy." We're practicing, okay? There's a long road ahead, so we need to get this one down. And God's made it very simple for us, holy. You know, we can't really go wrong there. Day and night, night and day, incense around the throne of God. We actually enter into that now on earth. We're joining with this heavenly chorus. We're joining with the eternal chorus of heaven. Holy, holy, holy is the Lord God Almighty, who was and is to come. The angels are lifting up, 100 million angels, the creatures around the throne, the elders casting down their crowns. We enter into that this morning when we sing about our God, when we worship him. And we do this for eternity, church. How magnificent is this? Don't get restricted or confined by flesh and blood, by the physical world, what you see with your human eyes. This is what we enter into. It's the everlasting. We meet with the everlasting God. And I'm still on point one. And as I always say, point one is my longest. Let's hope so. We need a much bigger lens through which we see God. Let's put that photo up, please. So this is the Gran Telescopio Canarius, which is actually in the Canary Islands, one of the Canary Islands. We had a team out there. In fact, Andrew and Sarah are still there today. They fly home tomorrow. Andrew's preaching morning and afternoon in one of our partnering 412 churches. So this is on the island of La Palma. This is the largest optical telescope in the world, and it has a mirror. Ladies, you'll be pleased to hear this one. It's got a big mirror. And Tom, where are you? He's in Ruffy this morning. This one's for you, Tom, when you watch it back. No, I'm kidding. No, I'm not. So the mirror has a diameter of 10.4 meters. That's a pretty big meter. In fact, I think this room, is this about 10 meters wide, this room? So if you think that's the diameter of this mirror, okay, it's pretty epic. And its size and precise control give it the power to detect an ordinary candle from 20,000 miles away. And it can determine the precise width of its flame from 6 miles away. Quite amazing, hey? You know, there's no lens big enough through which we can view God. And the Holy Spirit helps us to see him. And we encourage one another to see him. And we sing songs to help us see him. They're never enough. That's why we need to keep singing them. That's why we need to keep basking in them. We need to keep reminding one another, encouraging one another daily as the day of Christ's return approaches. These are the things we encourage in one another. It's not just about, you know, accountability and walking together in relationships. It's not just about calling out sin in our lives and growing in the character of Christ. It's an integral part of it. But it's saying, have you seen who God is today? Have you seen the everlasting? These are the things we call out in one another. Have you lost sight of the magnitude of God? Or have you been consumed in your circumstances and your view of God has got swept aside? He is everlasting. The Bible says he's the everlasting God. And we're not going to go through the scriptures because John's already said, man, you've got a long list of scriptures this morning. And I had a lot more, let me tell you. I had to strip loads out. And there's more. Because the scriptural writers want to show us, to point us towards the everlasting God. He's the everlasting God, we read in scripture. And if you want the scriptures, come to me later. He's the everlasting Father. He's the everlasting King. This is from the Bible. He's the everlasting rock. Now, Dwayne Johnson might be the rock, but he's not the everlasting rock. Christ is the everlasting rock. The word of God says his name and his renown are eternal. It says his love is eternal. It says his faithfulness is eternal. His ways are eternal. His word is eternal. You getting it? Good. We can never exaggerate God. We can never exaggerate God. We can never over-egg the pudding called God. And that's, yeah, God's not a pudding, right? Okay. But if he was, we're reaching towards something much greater. We are reaching towards something much greater. You know, we'd pray differently if we were praying to the everlasting God. We'd worship differently if we were worshiping the everlasting God. And we all need to examine our hearts in this and examine how far have we drifted from this. Point two. God's kingdom is an everlasting kingdom. So God is an everlasting God, and his kingdom is an everlasting kingdom. Psalm 145, 13. Your kingdom is an everlasting kingdom, and your dominion endures through all generations. Daniel 7, 14. To him was given dominion and glory and a kingdom, God, that all peoples, nations, and languages should serve him. His dominion is an everlasting dominion or an everlasting kingdom, which shall not pass away. And his kingdom, one that shall not be destroyed. His kingdom will never be destroyed. You know, this everlasting God rules over an everlasting kingdom. Kingdom is king's domain. It's where Christ is Lord. It's where he rules. It's where he reigns. It's where he enters in. It's where he's present. God's kingdom, his domain. And it's eternal, it's everlasting. You know, all other kingdoms, all other domains, all other rules are temporary. They fade away. You know, the average age of human empires, according to a specialist on the subject, the late Sir John Bagot Glubb. Isn't that a great name? Like, if you're going to be a specialist, that's what you want to be called. Because people are going to say, okay, Sir John Bagot Glubb, I'm going to take notice of what this guy's got to say. And lo and behold, he says that the average empire lasts 250 years. That's a name to give your son, isn't it? John Bagot Glubb. The Roman Empire, which is one of the longest lasting empires, lasted about 1,000 years. The British Empire lasted about 400 years. And it grew to about 400 million people, making it the largest empire in history. But empires come to an end, don't they? They've ended. Those days are over. Those days are gone. Governments come to an end. We know that oh too well. They don't last long. Rulers come to an end. Prime ministers come to an end. Whether it's days or weeks or months or years. Queen Elizabeth II, as we know, longest reigning monarch in British history for 70 years. But it came to an end. And we applaud her. And we honor her. But actually, in the fullness of time, it's fleeting. It's temporary. It's not long lasting. Everything we see in the physical world has a beginning and, the end, and an end. Psalm 46, 6, the nations are in chaos, aren't they? And their kingdoms crumble. God's voice thunders and the earth melts. We live in a finite world. Everything has a shelf life. If we could put up that next graphic there, John, and if we could just keep it up there for a minute. So let's just look at a couple of things that are temporary and do have a shelf life. And obviously we start with food. Who likes mushy bananas? Anyone in this place want to own up and say, yeah, I'd eat that? Okay. Andrew? Yes, okay. We can redeem things and make them into banana bread. And we've all done that, and we love banana bread, but let's be honest, you wouldn't eat it in its raw form, would you? Okay, and what about Matt? So these are perishable things, food things. What about man-made items, like the bottom right? Appliances. Did you know your kettle, on average, lasts about 5 years? And if you boil it four times a day, you'll get 7,700 teas or coffees out of it. Some of you probably boil it eight times a day, so it's going to last you about 2.5 years. A toaster lasts about 6 years, and it will heat up about 3,057 slices of? No, slices of bread. Yeah, cool. Quality you out on that one. A microwave lasts about 7 years, and so it goes on. Now, this is a picture of a Fiat Uno in the bottom right corner, and this was my first car, not that particular model. But this was given to me, and it was given to me with a name. And I have a problem with this, because why would you name a car? And I know some of you do, and fair play. But his name, I don't know if it's a he, it's a thing, right? Its name. I don't want to say their name, because it's male and female. Anyway, its name was Basil. And for me, you know, that says it all. Because if you think about famous Basils, I can think of Basil Brush. Anyone remember Basil Brush? You know, that children's TV character? He's a puppet, basically. He's a glove puppet. Or, of course, Basil Fawlty from Fawlty Towers. The alarm's gone off again. It's all good. We're trusting it doesn't mean there's a fire. If there is, someone will shout very shortly. But it's fine because, you know, we know where we're going. There was a moment when the windscreen wipers failed on this thing. I hadn't even passed my test. I was learning for a while. I failed my test twice. I passed on my third time. Somewhere along the line, I lost hope. I lost motivation. But I still had this car, and I had a friend. And there was one incident where a whole bunch of young people, we piled into this car. I don't know how legal it was. Okay, you'll know everything in the fullness of time. So here's my confession. And so my friend drove this thing, but the windscreen wipers weren't working on this particular occasion, and it was pouring with rain. So we had someone in the front, he was driving, and he had his head out this side whilst driving. Someone had their head out that side just saying, just veering this way a little bit. And that thing, I've had 10, 12 cars. I'm sure you've had many cars over the years. They go to garbage, don't they? They end up on the rust heap. They're temporary. What about the natural world? So that's a mayfly in the bottom left corner. And mayfly have the shortest lifespan of any known animal. In some species, females will live less than 5 minutes, while males can live somewhere between a day to 2 days. Pretty harsh, eh? If you're a mayfly. What about stars? You know, the average star lasts between a few million years to 20 billion years, depending on its mass. The bigger it is, the faster it consumes its energy, its fuel supply. And stars like our sun are expected to live for 10 billion years. The most common star is that one in the top right. It's the red dwarf star. And that can live up to, supposedly, according to scientists, trillions of years. But the point is, even if it lives a trillion years, it burns up. It's not everlasting. It's impressive, but it's not everlasting. Nothing in all of existence can claim to be everlasting, other than one who is the everlasting God who rules over an everlasting kingdom. You know, think of human life. If we could put up that next slide, please, So this is me and my dad. It's obviously not recent. That is me on the left. We've all been there. Guys, come on, let's admit it. We've all done the curtain thing. You know, we're not proud of it. I did even have an earring at one point. But as I say, I confess my sins to you, then I may be cleansed. You know, globally, the average life expectancy of human beings is 73.4 years. It's 76 years if you're female, 70.8 if you're a male. Our bodies will die, they'll pass away, they'll return to the dust. Every one of us will return to the dust, unless you're here when Christ returns, in which case you'll be taken up with him. You won't return to the dust. But before he returns, we go back to the dust. So my dad died when I was 14, and this was actually taken that same year. We're sitting in the dugout at Old Trafford in Manchester, back in the glory days. See? Things don't last forever, do they? Man United, the glory days are a distant, they're antiquity. In the ancient of days, Man United used to be a good team. But my dad passed when I was 14. All my grandparents have passed away. I've lost friends. You know, brothers and sisters that were part of this fellowship have passed away. We've all walked this road. We've all lost loved ones. We're finite. Our bodies are finite. I'm going to clarify that in a moment. Show me Psalm 39, 4 to 5. Show me, Lord, my life's end and the number of my days. Our days are numbered. This might be our last day on planet Earth. It might be. We may live to that average age of whatever it was. But show me, Lord, my life's end and the number of my days. Let me know how fleeting my life is. You have made my days a mere handbreadth. A mere handbreadth, he says. The span of my years is as nothing before you. Everyone is but a breath. even those who seem secure. We're just a breath in light of eternity. Our bodies will waste away. However, point three, we have an everlasting future. So our bodies will go to dust, but our spirits won't. Okay. Every one of us in this room had a beginning, and God determined when that would be. So we're not from everlasting past. But when we entered into human history at the command of God, we entered into eternity. We have entered into the everlasting. And actually, even though our bodies will waste away, our spirits will live forever. So we don't have eternity past, but we have eternity future. This is quite a thing to wrap our heads around. We are eternal beings. Now, we've been created by God at this time for this for a specific purpose. And you know, the scriptures say that he knew before the creation of the world when and where that would be. It's here in Horsham for 2023 and our lifespan. All of our days were determined before we were even born. That's what the scriptures say. All of our days were determined by God before our parents even thought of us. Even before God has created anything, he had you in mind, that you would be here at this time, in this place. We've entered into eternity. Matthew 25, Jesus speaks of the day when he comes back, because Jesus is returning for a pure and spotless bride. Jesus is returning for the church. And when he comes back, he's going to separate those who know him, who love him, who have trusted him, who have surrendered their life to him, and those that haven't. And he uses this terminology of goats and sheep. And sheep are those that have believed in him and trusted in him and loved him. And goats are those that haven't. So, Matthew 25, 31 to 34, when the Son of Man comes in his glory, the return of Christ, and all the angels with him, then he will sit on his glorious throne. Before him will be gathered all the nations. He will separate people one from another as the shepherd separates the sheep from the goats. And he will place the sheep on his right, but the goats on the left. Then the king will say to those on the right, come, you who are blessed by my Father, inherit the kingdom prepared for you from the foundation of the world. Inherit the kingdom that has been prepared for you since the foundation of the world. So James, and again, we can't go to all the scriptures, but James tells us it's those who love God who will inherit the kingdom. John says it's those who believe in Christ and receive him as Savior will inherit the kingdom of God. They're what Jesus is referring to as the sheep here. But for those who don't love him, surrender their life to him, believe in his name, verse 41, then he will say to those on his left, depart from me, you cursed, into the eternal fire prepared for the devil and his angels. And in verse 46, he kind of wraps it up and he says, these will go away into eternal punishment, but the righteous into eternal life. So, ladies and gentlemen, our future is eternal one way or the other. It's either eternal punishment separated from God, or it's eternal life in union with God. The choice is yours. The choice is mine. What will we decide? What eternity have you chosen? Because God's given us the choice. God said, I want you to make that decision for yourself. He's given us free will. And of course, God's heart, his desire is that we would choose him, that we would choose life, that we would choose Christ. But he said, I don't want to force this upon you. So I've given you the ability to choose. We can either choose eternal life with him or we can choose eternal punishment without. And this is the message of the gospel. And God has made a way into eternal life through his son Christ, who died on a cross and gave us access to this everlasting God for eternity. Russell Crowe in The Gladiator said, what we do in life echoes in eternity. Been meaning to get that one in for a long time. If I can quote Braveheart or Gladiator, I'm onto a good thing. What we do in life, the decisions we make now echoes into eternity. It's true. Our gracious God has given us the opportunity to choose him. Will we choose to surrender our lives to Christ the Saviour? Will we choose to surrender our lives to Christ as Lord, to follow him, to obey him, to love him, to trust him? This one's for you, Steve. I'm going to quote Will Murray. We're not physical beings having a temporary spiritual experience. We are spiritual beings having a temporary physical experience. We're spiritual beings on planet Earth right now, but all this will waste away. It's fleeting. It's here today, gone tomorrow. We don't know when tomorrow, how long that will be. We're not physical beings with a temporary spiritual experience. We're spiritual beings with an eternal soul having a temporary physical experience. Our time is short. But for those of us who know the everlasting God, we inherit an everlasting kingdom. 1 Peter 1:3-4. Praise be to the God and Father of our Lord Jesus Christ. In his great mercy, he has given us new birth into a living hope through the resurrection of Jesus Christ from the dead and into an inheritance, into a kingdom that can never perish, spoil, or fade. The inheritance is kept in heaven for you. And James 4:14, what is your life? For you are a mist that appears for a little time and then vanishes. And I'm going to finish with this scripture. Worship team, please join me. We read earlier from Moses, Psalm 92, where he says, Lord, you've been our dwelling place through all generations. And he said, before the mountains were born, you brought forth the whole world. And he said, from everlasting to everlasting, you are God. And then a few verses later, in verse 12, he said, teach us to number our days that we may gain a heart of wisdom. Can we stand, please? So God, from everlasting to everlasting, you are God. And he goes on to say, in light of that, teach us to number our days. Teach us to realize the brevity of life. Teach us to realize that this is temporary. This existence on earth right now is temporary, but we've entered into something of the eternal. Let's close our eyes, church, this morning. Yeah, Father, I just want to thank you for what you've revealed to us this morning through your word, by your spirit. And Lord, this is such a powerful and essential package of truth, Lord, that we have explored this morning. And Lord, we're scratching the surface because you're the everlasting God. With all the words and Lord God, with all the imagery and Lord God, analogies in the world could not, Lord God, describe the greatness of our God. But Lord, you are the everlasting. You are the everlasting one. And God, I pray this morning that you would open our eyes afresh. You would open our eyes again to see you, to know you as the everlasting God.